Yeah, you're not alone there.
Good evening, and welcome to the February 4th meeting of the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods for a roll call.
Thank you. Chair Hale? Here.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz?
Present.
Commissioner Crowley?
Here.
Commissioner Ayoub?
Here.
Commissioner Bates?
Here.
And let the record show commissioners that were absent would be Commissioner Sedaris and Commissioner O'Toole.
All right. Well, first off this evening, I'd like to welcome two new Recreation and Park Commissioners, Commissioner John Bates and Commissioner Anita Ayoub. So welcome, both of you. Looking forward to having your participation on the commission.
Thank you.
Next up, we have commissioner reports and announcements. So I'd like to turn down the line and see if we have any announcements or reports tonight.
Yes, I just have one item to report. I attended the January Senior Citizens meeting, and their coordinator doesn't take care of the coordination of their meetings and stuff, so they're just wanting to just put out there that they need a volunteer, and it's to coordinate for the entertainment and refreshments for the general meetings and the potluck, which is every third Wednesday of the month.
So with that volunteer service, you will get a free solar comfort polarized UV sunglasses. If you want more information, you can go to cccmb.org. That's it.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right.
I do have one.
Okay. Mr. Woods?
May I? Thank you, Chair and Commission. Good evening. In your packet, you will see the 2010 Commissioner's Workshop Dollars and Cents. The Commissioner's Workshop is put on by the Slow Capital Organization, which is the San Luis Obispo County Association of Parks and Recreation Administrators, which I am a part of. We meet every other month, and we also put on this annual event for commissioners. The time of the year is generally in February because we like to bring in new commissioners and get them introduced to other commissioners throughout the county. We will be meeting up at Hearst Castle. Once again, it's a terrific venue. The two topics that will be presented will be parks sustainability, which is managing the cost of parks and facilities, and that will be a panel discussion. And then also the second session is economic impact of recreation and parks services, and that's presented by a Cal Poly professor. The program will include breakfast or continental breakfast. It will include lunch, and at the conclusion of lunch, we will be doing a tour, an economy tour of Hearst Castle. You are all invited. All I need to know is if you're available and willing to go, we will sign you up. It is at no cost to you. So I'm eager to take your names. After the meeting is fine, so check your calendars. The date is February the 27th, which is a Saturday. It starts about 9 o'clock, and we conclude just before 3 p.m. If any questions, I'd be happy to follow up after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is presentations, and we have none tonight. It's also time for a public comment period where members of the audience wishing to address the commission can do so at this time. And seeing that we have no participants tonight in the audience, we will close public comment period. Moving on to item A, consent calendar. I'd like to understand if there's any commissioners who would like to pull any of the items under A. A1 is our approval of minutes from the December 3rd meeting. A2 is the citizens report and correspondence. A3 is the youth service summary for November, December, sports and fitness summary for November, December, and the facilities and park use summary for November, December. And then the final piece is a Recreation and Parks Department status report. So all this was provided in our materials, and I'd like to see if anyone would like to pull any of these items for discussion.
Can we start at A4?
You'd be looking for a motion to accept the calendar as you're going to pull A4?
Yeah, just I think we're just going to clarify the interest there. And so we have the option to discuss any of the items that are in our items A1 through A4, which can be useful in terms of understanding some of the data and the stats around the performance of some of the programs that are run by the Recreation and Parks Department. So if we'd like to, is there any that anyone would like to pull?
I'd like to pull A4.
A4, okay. That would be great. I would like to pull that as well. So please, I'm looking for a motion to approve all other than A4.
Okay, I'd make a motion to accept consent calendar items A1, 2, 3, and 4 for file. A1, 2, and 3 for file, and we'll pull A4.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
None. Okay, so A4 is a detailed status report that the Recreation and Parks Commission, I'm sorry, not the Commission, the City put together, the Department put together for us, addressing a couple of the items that we had discussed in one item in particular was the camp T-shirts and the possibility of recycling or reusing T-shirts that are required for participants of kids' camp. So there's a nice write-up, and I think we'll turn it over to Mr. Woods here in a minute to give us a summary and answer any additional questions we might have. And then there's also an update on the Estero Bay Youth Coalition and what they are, what their latest activities are, and some other exciting things going on there. So I think I would first turn it over and ask you, Commissioner Ayub, if there was something in particular on the status report that you were interested in learning more about. And that would be this summary.
Bay, 4A Pool, the City of Morro Bay, the San Luis Obispo School District, as well as the county have all met. You know that. We've concluded in saying that the first step is going to be a phone survey. That phone survey has been should be finalized either today or tomorrow, and it should be implemented and completed within the month is the last that I've heard. Terry Brown is the one that's spearheading the phone survey as far as the contract. She's working with Jen DeLeo with the county, and I talked with her yesterday, day before, and she assured me that we are very close in getting the final on the questionnaire, and the phone survey should be starting probably early next week and concluding within probably 3 weeks. So, and that phone survey is going to cover San Simeon all the way down to the western sections of San Luis Obispo. And basically it's going to be asking questions for those new commissioners. What type of pool or aquatics facility would you support? How much would you be willing to pay for it? And so forth. And I won't get into all the details of the study, but knowing that that's going to be breaking ground here within a week and then hopefully concluding within a month. And then at the conclusion, we'll be able to bring a report back to you and identify if we're going to go into phase two or not. In phase two, we have agreed to sponsor $15,000 towards phase two, which is more of a design phase.
Great. And it looks like we have some activities going on with Lila Kaiser Park in terms of doing some improvements?
Definitely. At Lila Kaiser Park, we have submitted our application for the unallocated funds, $70,000. We're proposing to put in new bleachers, new scoreboards, some foul poles, some serious turf maintenance on the east side. We're tightening up some loose ends that the state has asked us to cover, particularly our lease agreement, if you will, with the power plant. And we provided the state those documents earlier this week, and we're anticipating an email or a phone call tomorrow to see if we've satisfied the conditions that they've requested. If we have, then we're going to continue. Then they'll continue reviewing our application. Once we get that approved, we'll come back and with a big smile and hopefully start the work. If I can continue, please, Chair, the two items in the last page were brought to you as a future agenda item. They are the camp T-shirts for the Kids Club, as well as the update on the EBYC. I felt it was necessary that we put these in and try to cover them the best we can. If you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them. The T-shirts, we do have, obviously, we do have a recycling program, if you will, for kids' camp T-shirts. We have what we call a loaner bin. And the loaner bin is significant, particularly when it comes to field trips. Kids need to be identified when they're off our site. And they're very recognizable when they have our camp T-shirt on. If an individual or a young person was to come in and didn't have a T-shirt that day or forgotten, they can go to the loaner bin and pull a T-shirt out of there and use it for the day. And that way they're able to participate and not turned away. And turning away someone after their parents have gone sometimes can be quite complicated. So the fact that we have the T-shirts available is what we're doing. Now, as far as recycling on a more grand scale, a little bit more labor-intense for us to track those. There may be an opportunity for parents just to get together and swap T-shirts or give some kind of a hand-me-down. If you've got extra shirts, they can always go back to the loaner bin and be available for other participants at that time.
Are we able to discuss this topic more? I know we kind of had it on our last agenda item. I mean, if we want to have a little dialogue on it, is that appropriate to do?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Does anyone have?
Is there something that I didn't cover that we could come back with?
I think that the thing I had brought this topic up, I think, again, in the last meeting or the prior around, you know, can we recycle or reuse camp shirts that the kids need to acquire when they join or participate in kids' camp. And so it sounds like what we're proposing here is, you know, to continue with the process of having loaner T-shirts available for folks, you know, kids that come in and don't have it the day of an event. I guess the other question I would pose is, you know, is it possible when there's a sign-up process that occurs, right, at kids' camp?
Yes.
And many people, parents, come in to the office and sign up. What I had been thinking about was, you know, is it viable to have a bin there so that when a parent signs up at the very beginning of the program, instead of necessarily needing to hand out a free shirt, there's no intent to create extra work for you to say, now we have to take $10 off the price of, you know, I mean, that gets a little complicated, you know, maybe a little bit more complicated, but some way just to not necessarily require production of new T-shirts also. I mean, I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a way to reuse, you know, where the focus is on reusing rather than purchasing new when there's plenty, plenty, plenty of used T-shirts.
I have a question.
Certainly.
Would there be a price, a certain amount of money the parents have to pay for the T-shirt? And are these T-shirts a bright color to where you can just spot a child all of a sudden in a crowd? Or are they...
No.
Very subdued.
They're not camouflaged, which is a good start for us. They are, I believe that they're dark blue.
They're navy.
They're navy blue. So they're not a neon yellow or orange. They're department navy blue and they've got our logo and like I said, every kid who wears them, they're identifiable. We're on field trips. It's we've got a pretty good ratio from staff to students, participants. So it isn't a matter of we're going to lose some kids and, oh, there they are running down there. We've got a pretty tight knit on them as far as our ratio with staff. So it isn't a matter of the color. As the staff report says, the cost of the shirts are absorbed in the programming fee. And so as the program fees get accumulated, we provide supplies. There's other things that we provide in the program, and one of them is a T-shirt. And they fade out. They get worn, they get tattered, and they get torn as all kids play. I mean, there's probably a good handful of them out there that are in pretty good shape. And so maybe a bin that's not just a loaner bin, but an extra, I've got an extra one and pick it up bin might be something that we could certainly implement. So that's the kind of direction that the commissioner is saying. Can you please follow up with that and get a and work on a program that could recycle these shirts so people could reuse them? We can certainly look into that.
I think that'd be interesting. I mean, if down the road it gets to a point where somebody doesn't have to acquire a new one, great. But I understand, you know, the management of that can be more than it's worth. But maybe heading in that direction makes sense.
Okay. We get a lot of T-shirts. We get a pretty good price in the bulk buy. It isn't like we're spending top dollar on these T-shirts. And the other section, if we're done with that, would be the EBYC. Staff has gone to the coalition. They're currently working on a new logo. They are planning to hold a contest, or they may even be commissioning the high school art class to help them out. They're very interested still in no smoking. This was brought to your commission, I believe last year or the year before, smoking in the parks. The city already has a ban on smoking on piers and beaches, but not a ban on smoking in parks. The only regulation we have now is there's no smoking within 25 feet of any play area. And if the commission is interested in revisiting that, you know you're going to have the support from the EBYC. So, and they also mentioned that there's been some ordinances that have been in place over in San Luis Obispo. They've been successful with their campaign there, and they want to continue their campaign to the surrounding cities. And they've nominated, as you can tell, Del Mar teacher Marianne Britton and Morro Bay Jazz Band and the Morro Bay Jazz Band has Asset Development Network's Giraffe Award, which means they're sticking their neck out for the community. And the coalition definitely recognizes and supports their efforts. And the last bit of the coalition news is that they are eagerly awaiting the pool visibility study and what's happening with the pool, and I think we all are too. The recent news is that there's been talk about some closures at Cuesta Pool. I may have read that in the paper. It's unfortunate. They're actually talking about reducing or eliminating the programs, the community programs, and that would include the emeritus programs that are out here, at least for the summer. I don't know about in the fall. I did personally go to the Board of Trustees meeting yesterday at Cuesta and spoke during public comment in support of the community programs, their pool program, as well as their emeritus programs. And I'm hoping that I can go back and get some more time in front of the trustees and give them our point, because there's a lot of folks in Morro Bay who are benefiting from the programs and classes at Cuesta. And I feel that they need to know that that we're here as a resource and that they're not alone, and that they need help, they should come out and ask us, how can we help them continue the service and the programs? And I think, and I know there's a way to continue these programs other than just cutting them. So hopefully there's some dialogue. I ended with asking the trustees to at least
direct. I think the majority voted to make it smoke-free, and we had forwarded it to City Council for that. So what would we do if we brought it back?
If the commission wanted to bring it back, we would bring back the same. We would bring reports that we had before. We could review those. You could say, restate your position that you support or don't support. But if you are still supporting the ban on smoking in parks, then we would reiterate that in a staff report or a letter or a memo to council.
And if I remember correctly, too, did we not offer up for a future agenda item to revisit the results or to look at the results of San Luis Obispo, who implemented this recently, and evaluate what they felt was the outcome of that decision? You know, in other words, there was a number of obviously factors that went into their decision, but having somebody either come and tell us what it was like 6 months later or a year later in terms of cleanup effort, some of the, you know, the arguments or elements that went into the decision for them to ban smoking, that, you know, we'd had in our discussions. I think we were interested in having to take a look at what their learnings were. I don't know, did we say specifically? I thought it was maybe 6 months out or 6 months or a year out, just to gauge what their read is on their decision.
You know, staff would be happy to follow up with San Luis Obispo. I'm going to be meeting with Betsy Kaiser tomorrow at our Slow Capra meeting, and I can kind of propose the questions that, hey, how's it going? How can we go about this? Can we get someone to either write us a memo that I can present, or can I come and interview someone and bring some information back to you, maybe even a presentation? Mm-hmm. So I'd be happy to follow up on that.
I mean, it may be, I don't know what people think, it may be a little early to assess it. I mean, do we want to give it a couple months and let it take its time to settle in, or do we feel like there's interest in having some, you know, report or insight sooner than that?
When did it go into effect?
Is it December? November?
It may be in December. The exact date's going to be tough because they probably had two or three readings of that ordinance, and then it was enacted probably 30 days after that. So I'll ask Betsy tomorrow and see if I can get a timeline on how it went through their process and when it's enforceable. And then we can gauge from there. And you're saying that you're looking for a 3 or 6 month window of eval?
Yeah, maybe like by May or June. Something like that. Give it time. Gather information.
Yeah, I think June might be good, just before our tour of the parks, which is going to be in July. So we'll give you an update on smoking, and next month we'll go out and tour, and then we can figure out if we want to pursue any more action and maybe forward something to council, whether it's a form of a public hearing or it's going to be, they may not want to hear it again. And it may be just a letter that the commission writes to them saying, hey, we know your actions the last time. We're feeling very strong about this. And we are wanting you to revisit this and give them a chance to review it. And then through a memo, they can review that and then go, yeah, we want it on a future agenda item. And then through that process, you'll get on their agenda.
Plus, it's a new commission too, right, since the last time? Yeah. New council, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, do we have any other questions for Mr. Woods on the A4 reports?
I believe there was from Commissioner Ayub regarding the dog park. Is there a question that I can answer regarding the status report?
The off-leash dog park in Del Mar is open for use, yes. It's almost finished. Our little problem is that we have the drainage, which I have spoken to Mr. Woods about. The runoff goes right into the entrance, and it gets very muddy between the small dog park and the large dog park. And people have been asking, where is the water for the dogs? We have been bringing in our own water with our own buckets and everything. We have no problem bringing the buckets in. It's just having water there like you have at the horseshoe arena, I believe. It's one that you hit and the water splatters, and that would be perfect for us. We could wait till the summer because right now it's very muddy there. And some of the wind has blown the trees down and they have not been cut. They have been a little yellow tagged around, do not go there, but they have fallen down. I go over there in the morning and I lift them up. And if not, Mr. Marcatello does, and if not, Mr. Ayub does. Other than that, we're getting ready to put up our rules and regulations that we're going to have, and that is a no-smoking area.
We are definitely near completion.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Woods? Okay, before I entertain a motion, I do want to give a hearty congratulations to Del Mar teacher Mary Ann Britton, who has shown great dedication to our elementary school kids and the Morro Bay High School Jazz Band for the nomination by the Estero Bay Youth Coalition. Well deserved. Can I entertain a motion to accept for approval A4?
Motion to accept A4 for file.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Nay.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to Item B, public hearings. Tonight we do not have any public hearings, so we shall move on to item C, unfinished business. And the first topic is C1, which is discussion of public restroom annual renovation and beautification. It's one of our favorite topics. So I'll turn it back over to Mr. Woods to discuss and provide us the latest and greatest updates on the beautification efforts.
Definitely. Thank you, Chair Cahill and Commission. Good evening again. This is brought back to you by your request. We did not have enough information at your last meeting. I think it was in December. So hopefully you'll have a little bit more information to digest in this staff report. The annual renovation of public restrooms along the Embarcadero, and also in city parks, there's 10 restrooms. And we don't close them down, but we go out and work on each one of these restrooms between February and March. So we're right on schedule. Every facility gets an external wash. We go down and we pressure wash the outside. Certain restrooms like Centennial has skylights, and those get washed down as well. We will paint where necessary. Oftentimes throughout the year we'll use community service workers to paint restrooms, but the annual renovation will be staff's involvement. We repair any non-functioning building systems and or amenities. And you'll see those in your checklist. There are systems that get broke, whether it's dispensers or faucets or whatever. We'll go through there and take an inventory, and you'll see the inventory, and we repair them. We move in the inside. We do a detailed cleaning. Usually it's a major. We use certain chemicals. We foam it up. We scrub it down. We rinse it down, and it's a full sanitizing. We know that there are deficiencies in each one of these public restrooms. I don't think we'll ever get to the non-deficient stage because of the heavy use of these public restrooms. It'd be like having, you know, 50 to 80 people at your house in the restroom like every day. There's just that much use. We are attempting to do some different things when we go through. Right now we're looking for different types of fixtures. Sometimes you'll see us replace a plastic toilet paper dispenser with a stainless steel one. And hopefully it'll be less vandal, it'll be more vandal resistant, and last longer and be more aesthetic to the user. We are looking to do some different landscaping. Centennial Parkway is one I can bring your attention to. We'll be doing some renovation throughout the whole park. We talked about that in months past. But we'll be looking to do the vegetation just around the restroom to help beautify the restroom itself. But not every restroom has landscaping around it. The North Teep here does not. Some of the restrooms you'll see in here are scheduled to be replaced. They've got quite an extensive list of deficiencies, major deficiencies like roof replacements or just really way, just so far out of compliance with American Disabilities Act, they really need to be torn down and rebuilt. And those restrooms, we've identified them as Coleman Park Restroom, Del Mar Restroom, Monty Young Restroom. Those are three that really have needed some help. And so we will be focusing our energy on getting some money to replace those restrooms. It's going to be a significant chunk of change. I would imagine, you know, even the prefabbed and precast restrooms are up to $100,000 and a little bit more. So it's going to be a chore to get that done, but we are certainly working in that direction. One of the main concerns or one of the issues that you've brought up in the past were the rinse-off showers at the Rock restroom. We have addressed that. Well, we are prepared to put in an inline water warmer at that facility. And I say that because we're not planning to offer hot showers. We're not planning to offer warm showers. Basically, if you want a shower, you've got to go to the shower facility. The water use as well as electricity use and bring back a report after we've installed this. So that's part of the beautification. We understand that the amenities that we have in public restrooms needs to be improved. Another item that we are looking at, we're not too sure if we can put it in. Through the process of the staff report, we've come up with the idea of hand sanitizers. We've noticed them in the library. We've noticed them at different banks. When you walk in, there's a pedestal and a little whoop, and you get a little hand sanitizer. We got kind of like that's kind of a pretty good idea. We can eliminate water use if one's just going to do a hand sanitizer. And so we're looking into the possibility and see what's out there of implementing some kind of a hand sanitizer, not necessarily to replace the sinks, but to just to add on to the amenities there at the public restrooms. So I don't have any hard numbers for you, and I can't give you any promises, but I can tell you that staff is looking into that because we feel that that's a good move. It's if we can reduce the water use and increase sanitation at the same time, it's an amenity that a visitor to the public restroom would probably enjoy. So those are some of the things that we're working on. We've also included a list of all the public restrooms for your review. There are deficiencies, obviously, in all these restrooms, some not so many, but some have a few more, and those are the ones we talked about replacing. And so there are some things that we will be doing. We're definitely going to be cleaning the outside, inside, doing the paint job, making sure what's there is functional. But then the extra amenities are going to come into play as we have the resources available. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any more questions or field any discussion that you feel that's necessary.
On the replacement of the bathrooms, do we look for grants for that stuff or from the state or something?
Definitely.
Or does it come out of... Okay.
We would be seeking either grant funds and possibly supplementing those grant funds with parking lot funds. But they're going to say it's going to be those are going to be big projects, most likely be capital projects that'll go through either the capital project manager. If they feel that we could handle those projects on our own, they would kick them back down to us. Right now, the project manager, the capital project manager, is extremely busy with the wastewater treatment plant. And to get public services involved in this particular project, in restroom project, would be very very difficult at this time. That's why we are getting ready to go out to bid with the tennis courts. Generally, that would be underneath the public services capital improvement projects manager. So we would be hopefully handling that if we got the grant funds. Right now, our plate's pretty full with the amount of projects that we have. But we're always looking at new revenue streams. And if we pick up a grant that's going to flip the bill, that's going to say that this fits what we're going to be doing, we certainly would go after it. But we most likely want to supplement with some other, either general fund or park and lieu funds or some other funds to show that, yes, we're putting some in, we're looking for the grant monies. But that's generally where it would come from.
For the paper towels, I think we talked on our last meeting that we were thinking of maybe looking at some flush-mounted, inserted-type blowers, hair dryers. Is that what we're going to do with all of them or just replace with paper towels?
We have both out there. We've got hand dryers in some locations. We've got paper towels in other locations. And some we don't have anything. And that was part of what I brought up with the maintenance staff is if we brought in a hand sanitizer, would we need a hand dryer or paper towels? In certain venues, it's going to work. You got two facilities out there that are shower facilities, and it may not work there. So I think we'd like to find out if we can get a hand sanitizer that's going to work and it's going to be applicable to a public restroom, and then find the venues where we can put it in. And so we would eliminate the paper towels. We would eliminate the hand dryers at that point. So there's a reduction. And we talk about sustainability in parks and facilities. That's part of it. When you put in something new or replace something, it should be reducing another demand, if you will, plus adding on to the longevity of that particular asset. So if we could extend the life of something we're putting in a couple of years because it's a little bit better made, it's a little bit more functional, it's vandal-proof, and it reduces energy costs. We've got a win-win. We're taking it away from both sides. And that's the kind of budget reductions that we look for and sustainability in our jurisdictions, if you will.
Questions? Other questions?
Is there anything?
The wall needs to be replaced. We probably won't do that right away. But we'll put it on our budget. this next fiscal year, and if we can get some funding, we'll go ahead and deal with that. The roof is it's not accessible. There are several things in here that are deficient in that particular restroom. We will continue to Band-Aid, if you will, that facility until we can get a master plan or replacement funds.
Yeah, I understand that the condition is pretty lousy right now, but I was just wondering if there was anything in the master plan that would, you know, we talk about warm water and maybe possibly another shower facility incorporated into that master plan down there. I haven't seen any of the preliminary stuff in regards to that. I just didn't know if you had any of that going on.
We don't. The master plan does not include any specific plans. They're basically concept plans and guidelines that I've reviewed in previous plans. The local coastal plan is still up for review for the Coastal Commission. Hasn't been adopted. General plan and local coastal plan don't address specifics on Coleman. The general plan is that is a high visibility and a high impact area that we need to address, and it's something that is worthwhile to maintain in an enhanced. It's such a pivotal spot right there at Coleman and the Rock. I mean, it's such a heavy demand for visitors, and it should be one of our brightest looking parks, but the master plan does not address that. We will be addressing the concept as well as the specific plan for that, and hopefully you can get in. You will be involved in that in the next coming months, if not years.
Thank you.
Sure.
I've got a couple questions. Thank you for the update. I think it makes. I mean, hand sanitizers. I know there's some. Debate, two sides to that, but I think that's a great start, and I would encourage us to look at, obviously, the heavy-use restrooms, like the Rock particularly, to put in some kind of sanitation option there if we end up being limited in budget, or even just to trial it out, because obviously that's going to be the heavy-use bathroom, right? And then on the water, the tepid water, it's like a tease. It's tepid.
Yes.
Some tepid water. On that subject, it sounds like a good step, and it'll be interesting to see what the reports are from surfers and swimmers and bodyboarders going over there to take use of that. If it ends up that there's still a real strong interest in having a shower, I guess it would have to be a shower or rinse with hot water with coin operated or whatever the solution is, solar powered. I don't know what that looks like. Is that still something that we can come back and pursue? I mean, are there some really hard constraints that it's like, this is totally off the table for now and evermore?
I think it will be a process because you're going to change the function of that facility. You're going to add in a shower facility, and there are, I don't know all the details of it. I know we avoided calling them a shower when the restroom was being built because there's so many more rules that go along with shower facilities than there is with just a rinse off.
And can a rinse off have hot water if one so chose?
I'd have to follow up with that. I'm very hesitant in supporting a hot rinse off for various reasons. We have coin op hot showers now. I would want to direct anybody who wants to shower to those facilities. We've had some other folks who have not been from the area. I wouldn't say, I don't want to stereotype, but I believe they from out of the country. And they saw the rinse off. They thought these were showers, and it was a take off your clothes and soap up and right there. It was like, wait a minute, time out. You know, we've got ordinances against that, and so you will going to be. I know it's kind of an off. It doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. So I would be hesitant to get into the hot showers, and staff has pitched the tepid water, and I'm. Would support that. That's probably as far as I would go at this point.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question?
Maybe it would be an idea to get some signage down there to direct people mm-hmm. that wanted a warm shower to the facilities. I mean, a lot of people don't know that there are showers there, even residents of Morro Bay.
Mm-hmm. We could certainly look into some signage there that would direct people to either the harbor or Tidelands Park.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for now? Okay. I think we would like to get a motion to accept item C for file.
I'll make a motion to accept item C for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
The report outlines the details of the election. Once the chair has been nominated and accepted, then they would preside over the remaining of the meeting to include the nominations and the elections of the vice chair. So if that was to change hands this evening, that new chair would be prepared to complete the rest of this agenda item as well as the rest of the agenda in the packet. Thank you.
Okay, so it looks like I would look to open the floor for nominations, at which time any commissioner can make a nomination for the office of chair.
I'd like to nominate Christy Hale.
And what do we do now? Do we keep getting nominations or? Okay. Other nominations? Anything interesting to make? Okay. So then I would like to seek a motion for the nomination, correct? Would like to, everyone, like to make a, get a motion to close the nominations.
Motion to close nominations for chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? No? Nay. Okay, so I will be continuing in the role of chair for 2010. Thank you.
Congratulations, Chair Hale.
Thank you. I think we'll now turn it over to open the floor for nominations for the position of vice chair.
I would like to nominate Johnny Munoz.
Good. Any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, then I'd like to seek a motion to close the nomination window for vice chair.
I'll make a motion to close the nomination for vice chair.
All in favor? Oh, I need a second, sorry.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Congratulations. Commissioner Munoz. Okay. I think we can move on to D3, correct? Oh, I'm sorry,
Chair
D2.
Hill, D2 okay. Will be your election yep. of your senior representative. Realize that these positions are for a year. If the commission wanted to review this, I would certainly entertain bringing back some history, bringing back some the procedures and that other boards are doing. If you feel that the positions of for 12 months isn't long enough, you may want to entertain it to be a two-year. Maybe you want to go into a rotating as opposed to a voting. We can do various things. Feel that it's not broken and you want to continue, staff's fine with that as well. You certainly wanted to continue with D2, which is a senior representative at this time.
Does anyone have an opinion on the process? Seems fine?
Yeah, seems fine to me.
All right, we'll move on to D2 then, election of a senior representative. So Commissioner Munoz has been serving in this role for us. We thank him for his playing that role. So I would look to open the floor for nominations to elect a commissioner to serve as a senior representative for a one-year term.
I'd like to nominate Anita.
I have to decline that because I have too many things that I'm doing now with the dog people, so it's going to be very hard for me to do that. And I would like to wait probably until I get all this process done, and then I'd probably accept it. So you're going to have to give me some time. Thank
all right.
you.
Other nominations? Okay. So, is Commissioner Munoz, I would like to make a nomination for Commissioner Munoz to serve in that role.
If there is no commissioner that wants to be senior, then I'll go ahead and continue on.
We will then close the nomination window. I'll actually ask for a motion to close the nomination window for.
I'd like to close the nominations.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. Okay, so Commissioner Munoz will serve another year as our senior representative. Thank you. Moving on to D3, discussion of day and time change for this meeting. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods. This is a topic we had brought up in light of trying to find a time to accommodate the mm-hmm. business hours in which many of us work and have a difficulty in some cases getting here at the 5 o'clock hour that this current meeting takes place.
And those basically were the times when we scheduled the parks tour in July. We've started late a couple of times, but we've always had that quorum. Staff's provided the last couple of years attendance. I'm sorry if anybody is uncomfortable with that, but I just wanted to give everyone an idea that where you're at as a commissioner, you're able to miss no more than three in a row or four in a year. And we've come close on some commissioners. We've had some early outs, so we've had some earlier appointments. In the discussion, staff has reviewed the schedule, and we brought to you three different options. If you want to continue meeting on the first Thursday at 5 o'clock, you certainly have that option. The reason why we liked this move, and then staff has included the reports from 2005 and also 2006, so you have a little bit of history on how we got here. It was tough. We used to have more staff from our department here. Now all you get is me, unfortunately. But if you ever wanted to bring in another staff member, just you could ask me to bring them in, and we would have them here. So the 5 o'clock hour really was instrumental in getting staff here to present different items and issues from time to time. So at 5 o'clock, if you wrap it up by 7, the Harbor Advisory Board meets. Nothing gets changed. The setup remains the same, and the staff has less impact. We've coupled other meetings to accommodate this as well. The Public Works Advisory Board meets on the third Wednesday. Well, that following Thursday morning, that's a Wednesday evening, the following Thursday morning is the Community Promotions meeting. And immediately following that is the T-Bid meeting. Same setup. For all three meetings, we've done it once. So we're eliminating some additional staff time. Where else did we do this? Those are the main ones that we've coupled these meetings together. This Thursday meeting has helped out as staff, as we've demonstrated. The other two options you'd have would be the fourth Tuesday of the month between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. This meeting on the fourth Tuesday would follow the city council, which is on the fourth Monday of the month. So basically, you'd have a city council set up. It would sit dormant overnight. In the morning, staff would come in, spruce up the place a bit, and then change the name tags. And then we would have our meeting in the evening. I put the range between 5 and 6 because if you like the 5 o'clock hour, we can maintain it. Or if you wanted to start a little bit later, I think 6 might be appropriate. I think you could entertain 7 if you wanted to, but I thought 6 would be a reasonable time to start a meeting. We generally don't go more than 2 hours, but we have the potential, since no one's following us, to go into 8, 9, 10 o'clock if we'd like to. I don't think we'd have that strong of an agenda. The other option would be the third Thursday of the month, anytime after 12 p.m., which is noon. This is when I said we followed the T-bid. Remember, we've got PWAB, we've got promotions, T-bid. This meeting would sit dormant in the afternoon, and it would open up after it's spruced up for you to meet on a Thursday evening, if you will. I put any time after 12 because that's when it's open. I'm gathering the change would be to help facilitate the hours, and we most likely are targeting 6 p.m. and I'm looking around and everyone's kind of nodding, realized that the setup would be a little bit different. You wouldn't be up on the stage. This stage would be closed, and there'd be a U shape here in front, and we would sit here on the floor. I'd be over here, and then there would be commissioners here and then across. So it's a little bit different setup. Not that it makes a big difference, but I wanted you to be aware of that. If you really liked sitting up on the stage behind the desk, then that's not the meeting we want to go for. So as I mentioned, I've included the other staff reports in 05 and 06. I've given you three options. I certainly would entertain any other ones. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Can I offer another option I didn't see on here?
Certainly.
Okay, how about just 5:30? Keeping it the same, but just moving it back half hour.
The problem that staff sees with 5:30 is that you'd be limited to an hour and a half of your meeting time only, because the Harbor Advisory would have to start at 7 o'clock.
Has there ever been a time where we went over 7 o'clock?
There's one time mm-hmm. when I've been running the meeting, we've got right up to 7. I think we went 7 and some change. It was really tight. We had a couple of public hearings that night. It was there was some public comment, though we generally don't get public at least 2.5 hours, and so they're into 8:30 time they're concluding, and I think that's what those volunteers on that board are expecting and are used to.
We would have to move it to like Tuesday. Choice one
or two
and then we could accommodate 5:30. Does that seem to be everybody's problem? Is 5 o'clock starting time?
For me,
yes.
Yeah.
What about Tuesday, 5:30? Is Thursday, is everybody set in stone here on Thursday?
Yeah, is the day okay, Tuesday or Thursday?
Or 6 p.m. Tuesday?
6 p.m. Tuesday sounds great. 6 p.m. Thursday sounds great. Do we have any, are there constraints for folks here that have a strong preference one way or the other?
Would 5:30 work okay?
It's manageable. I mean, if that's ultimately more desirable for everybody, it's...
split the difference.
Okay. Does people have a preference on Tuesday or Thursday? Okay.
I don't have a preference on Tuesday myself, but
okay.
I'm open to either.
Okay. I'd lean a little toward Tuesday if I had my choice. Do there's anybody else?
Okay.
Okay, so can I get a motion then that we would move this meeting to the fourth Tuesday of each month at 5:30 p.m.? And where is that located? Is that at the...
May I interrupt, please, Chair Hale?
Am I giving out bad information?
Please, yeah. Well, protocol is a little different. You don't have the authority, unfortunately, to change your date and time. Through our recommendations, in the first paragraph, you'll see that you will want to, if you do decide to change, and it's going to be beneficial for staff involvement and public involvement to engage, then you would make a recommendation that I would bring forward to City Council, and City Council would then amend your meeting date and time.
Okay, I guess I'll ask for a revised motion.
Is there another meeting after that on Tuesday, Joe? Or would it would be open pretty much that Tuesday, fourth Tuesday in the evening?
No, the fourth Tuesday would be wide open for
wide
you.
Okay.
Certainly.
So the motion would be to...
You want to direct staff to go back to council?
To direct staff to go back to council to look at changing the Recreation Parks Commission meeting to the fourth Tuesday of each month, beginning at 5:30 p.m.
Tuesday at 5:30. Right.
Can I get, I need a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. Moving on to D4, a Recreation and Parks Department program evaluations. Are we intending to review? Is there items here we would like to review? Or I guess Mr. Woods can cover some of the evaluations for us, and then we can ask questions.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Hale, Commission. At your monthly meeting, staff brings to you program evaluations, and they vary throughout the year. And tonight we've got two. coming from our recreation supervisor, Heather Salyer-Frith. I'll be giving the reports. The first is the annual holiday tree lighting program. You'll see we've got program cost as well as expenditures. Basically, you'll see the program costing you just under $800. The revenues basically were donations, $250. I want to outline some of the things that happened at the annual tree lighting. It is a wonderful family event at City Park. It is open to everybody in the community. We serve hot cider and cookies. There's a celebration that the mayor comes out. We've got a dance performance by the Pacific Dance Center led by Karen Garman, which is a terrific little tribute to the Nutcracker. The high school chamber choir was out and sang a few songs, did some sing-alongs. We had a visit from Santa Claus and the elves as well. This year, we did something a little bit different. Staff at the senior board asked for donations, and we had folks we had a mother from the department and several seniors donate two or more dozen cookies, either homemade or store-bought. The cookies came in. We had an anonymous donation of $250 that went towards the event. We had an additional the donation of $100 for the dance studio, and a donation of $100 to the choir came from Keith and Cheryl Taylor and Stan and Janice House. If you see them...
And I just thought it would be a good idea to have that clarified from the beginning what Santa's role is going to be tonight. Is he's going to sit down, he's going to read the book, and then he's going to go back to his sleigh.
We will certainly address Santa. We'll hope if we could get a letter up to the North Pole and kind of identify maybe his timeline, and we would be hopefully be able to market that through our flyers so you'll know what to expect as a participant. So I appreciate your observation and suggestion. We'll certainly forward that to staff. I think we'll be able to make a good headway for next year. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer. If not, we're looking for this report to be accepted to file.
Can I get a motion?
A motion to accept D4 for file.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And the next report I have, and the last report, is the Central Coast Senior Health and Wellness Fair. We haven't done a Senior Health and Wellness Fair for quite some time, and we were approached on doing something, and we thought other departments in the county, Paso Robles being one, were doing a senior fair coupled with the flu shots. So we thought, what a great idea. Let's expand on that and see what we can do here. And with the help of SLO Area Agency on Aging, came out and we put our resources together, which I think is you'll see more and more of. Staff is trying to partner up with other community nonprofits and community organizations to help programs and just pull all of our resources together. We had free flu shots. If you were a Medicare recipient, but $25 if you weren't. We had cholesterol testing, memory screening, fitness testing. They had a posture analysis. We had car fit program, which was just incredible. We had Hank Roth, and I don't know all the names of the volunteers that were out there from the police department, but they just did a terrific job, and I would want to send a special thanks out to those guys. They came in. They had about, I think, five or six police volunteers that helped the car fit organizers analyze folks when they came in and how they sat in their car and their mirrors and the seats and just a really comprehensive analysis of how mostly seniors fit in their cars, because that's important, because driving gets very difficult, obviously, even when you're young, but more so when you're older. So the car fit was just incredible. We had 15 booths that were related to health and fitness that were at the Morro Bay Community Center. The cholesterol testing was free because we had donations from the Senior Citizens Incorporated. So again, the partnering up with these groups has just been dynamite in providing the programs. There's a few recommendations that we'll probably look into doing, providing a light breakfast type, maybe some snacks. We went really low budget this year. We held everyone at bay and only invited government or nonprofit agencies to have a booth, and we felt that was in our best interest, not only for the organizations but also for the participants. They knew what they were getting. They weren't being solicited to be, to donate any money or anything like that. It was really all above the table. So very successful program, zero cost recovery. We knew that going in, but we feel that the benefit the community had on this program was just incredible at every angle. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Okay. Can I get a motion to file?
I'll motion to file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, moving on to item E, declaration of future agenda items. Are there any agenda items that the commissioners would like to offer up for future meetings? One topic is, I know we're interested to get inputs on volunteer efforts for the spaghetti dinner. Is that something we're going to handle in a different fashion?
We won't be bringing it back as a future agenda item. We could.
It'll be at the beginning.
We'll bring you back a report on what our status and what we've done. It might be an update, its own report on who's doing what.
Okay, because we're all looking to. We've been asked to, if we're available to volunteer in some fashion for the spaghetti dinner fundraiser, which takes place toward the end of March, and I think at the last meeting we've had some people shuffling on the commission since then. So
for the event or day of the event.
And can we put the date out again on for the viewing audience in terms of getting it on your calendar? It's a Friday night, if I remember. It's a lot of fun.
March the 26th or the 19th? The date is March the 26th.
And that's a Friday, correct?
It's a Friday.
Okay, March 26th, Friday. Mark it on your calendars. Great time to come out to the community center and participate in a lovely spaghetti dinner with some fun raffles and a way to raise funds.
Yeah, the posters.
Youth scholarships.
Once we approve or vote on the poster, the drawings, then the poster gets made and the poster gets distributed. We've got tickets and the ball really gets rolling then. So I apologize for not having that on your agenda for announcement this evening. We'll certainly have something big to announce on your March meeting.
Great. Thank you. Any other agenda item topics for future meetings at this time? Okay. So I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
I apologize for being late.
So you guys have all had one of these, and the posters are set up on the back table.